completion of our Chanukah unit.
Okay. So in the sugya that we find in Chafgim on the base, first of all, there is a brief sugya at the top, which we'll just talk about for a minute or two. It's really come up in earlier discussions, and here we'll get to see it in its right place. So the Gemara says that in the name of Rav Yitzchak Bar Adifa, the name of Rav Huna, that you could have a candle that has two openings, that has two POs, and therefore could essentially count as two candles and be effective for two people. And then the Gemara goes on to discuss that maybe you could have the same situation if you have a couple of wicks that are all attached to one entity. So let's say, for example, you take a dish, you take a ka'ara, and you surround it with wicks, and you light them. So then the Gemara says it depends. But if you put a kli on top of it, we'll have to discuss what that means, practically speaking. So then, fine, that could count as many candles, and in our context here, for many people. Presumably, we could apply this both for many people or for one person who's lighting the mahadrim and a mahadrim. The point is that it'll be halachically recognized as many candles. So one could assume that if it counts for different people, that's a bigger chiddush than saying it counts as different candles. So then kal v'chomer, if one person wants to light his menorah like this, one person wants to have this count as mahadrim and mahadrim for many candles per night, then for sure it should work, one would think. But in any event, the Gemara says there's this condition that you have to put a kli on top of it, otherwise it's a madura. So what exactly is the metzias here? It's a good question. Some discussion about it was probably likely. There's an essay about this in one of Eliyahu Schlesinger's svarim. So he explains that he thinks it's pretty clear that what's going on, even though not everyone learns like this, is that you will otherwise have all of the wicks joining together. They'll all touch in the middle, and they'll all create a big flame, and that's going to be like a bonfire. That'll be a madura, and that's not effective for Ner Chanukah. As opposed to this kli, which will create distinct entities, and therefore that's what's going to save the day. So assuming that that's Metzias, or whatever the Metzias is, so there is a major question that's asked on this Gemara, and it's a reason why this Gemara is invoked in a lot of other contexts. Notably, it was invoked in our first sugya. I didn't want to get into the whole discussion at that time to explain this whole Gemara and talk about it, but in the very first sugya that we had, this Gemara was brought in the context of that discussion by a lot of the Svarim. Because the question is, why should we not say that if we paskin kavsul ozakukla, that you only have to have it lit for a second? So why don't we say, this is a question that was raised by Belazar Mersha Hurwitz, who has a commentary in the back of the Gemara. You can find him by turning to the back. He was also the father-in-law of the Torah Tanima, who we often quote in Chumashir and other times. So Belazar Mersha Hurwitz, in his commentary over here, he raises the question that if we say Kavsa Lozakukla, so you essentially only need a second for it to be effective. So why don't we say that if the problem is having all of these wicks lit is going to create a bonfire, and that's going to be a problem, but what about after you light the first one? Shouldn't that one be good? So yes, you're going to mess it up by lighting the candle, the wicks afterwards, but in the second, between the first and the second, that should count as one candle. Whoever lit that candle, whether it's for one person or whether it's only one person by himself, but at least for the Ikar Mitzvah, shouldn't that one candle count? That was the question Blazer Moshe Hurwitz asked. So how could you answer the question? So his answer is that maybe what we're talking about is you lit them all at once. So you don't have any seconds at all where there's one wick that's lit. But that's a little bit hard to believe. It doesn't seem to be so likely. So many achronim assume that this is relevant to, again, our first sugya. You could say that maybe it's proof to the idea that kavsa b'mezid zakukla, that if you extinguish it on purpose, so then you are indeed zakukla. So here, the lighting of the extra candle, since it creates a pasul menorah, so that's equivalent to kavsa b'mezid. That's how some suggest. But many others, like Reb Shlomo Zalman, who we talked about in that first year, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky, they thought that this was explained based on the assumption that they had, that you don't necessarily have to say that kavsa b'mezid zakukla. But you could say they're Yesod, if you remember, it's good the Chazar opportunity now to go back to the first year, that they asserted this Yesod, that if you have in mind to extinguish the flame, right, if you remember the whole progression, right, so the question whether, even if we assume you're not obligated to relight the menorah if it goes out. So what if you put it out the shogeg? So that was one shita. What if you put it out the mezid? That was another shita. So Reb Shlomo Zalman went further than that. He said, we don't necessarily say that even if you put it out the mezid, you're obligated to relight it. But we would say that if you plan on extinguishing it from the very beginning, that's no good. That if you know in advance you're going to extinguish it, so then that's going to be a problem, that's going to disqualify your Ner Chanukah. So that could be what's going on here. That even though there's a second in between lighting the first wick and the second wick, but since your plan always was to light the other wicks, so therefore that creates a situation where you are not Yotzei at all. Does that make sense? And he points out that you could say that that's meduyik in the lashon of the Gemara, because how does the Gemara put it? Right, mile ka'ara shemen v'hikifa psilos. The situation is that what did you do first? First, you filled this dish with oil, and then you laid out all the wicks. And then, presumably, it's not spelled out. Presumably, then you lit after you laid out all the wicks. So the fact that you have all the wicks laid out there, that shows that your intent from the very beginning is to light them all. And therefore, that is itself reflective of a situation where you're not going to be Yotzei. So that's very possibly a viable interpretation. And it's a little better than the idea that this is a proof that purposely extinguishing it is Kavza Zalkakla, because it helps us maintain our lumdus from the first year also. Because if you recall, we discussed, when we talked about the position of Kavza Zalkakla, that you have to relight it. We said initially it sounds like it means that you're not Yotzei if you don't relight it. But after looking at things further, we ultimately decided that even that position, Kavsa Zakukla, really does believe that you're Yotzei if you don't relight it, but that there's a chiv to relight it. So here, if you say that it's all based on Kavsa Bemezid being Zakukla, so then maybe that's a problem, because it sounds like from this Gemara like you're not Yotzei at all. However, if we say that it's based on Reb Shlomo Zalman's Yisod, that you intend to extinguish it afterwards, that's really coming from a different din than Kibbutz Mezid. That's coming from the din of not enough shemen, right? Coming from the place that the candle was never viable in the first place, and a candle that was never viable in the first place, then taka, you're not Yotzei at all, it seems, the way we seem to relate to that din, and therefore maybe this Gemara fits.
So even if no one's going to light it after, and you're just lighting it with this type of commentary, it's not going to be Yotzei. So I don't know if it's related at all, but we spoke about the Avnei Nezer, about the chiyuv maybe of menorah. So here it's interesting that you might have a psul with the type of
correct, right. This is in this discussion also, and that's this is relevant to the Avnei Nezer's position, the fact that there seems to be a focus on the kli here, and that what kind of a kli is being created, and that in general, Ner Chanukah refers to not just the flame, but the whole entity that holds the candle. This is invoked in the discussion, later discussions of the Avnei Nezer's position. So that's the point is well taken. We'll just mention one other idea about this, which you can quote the name of Rabbi Feldman. Rav Aaron Feldman, the Rashi of Ner Yisrael, who has an article about this, is published in the Sefer Chanukah Savra. And there he suggests, he thinks, again, this is worse than Kibbutz Mezid. Because what this Gemara is telling us is that if you have a situation that is, from the very outset, not set up as a persumenisa mode, so then that's no good as a Chanukah candle. Even if you want to say Kavsul Azakakla lasted for a second as one candle, but the whole setup is a setup of not pursuing Nisa, and therefore it never gets off the ground as a Ner Chanukah, even for a second. And he says that's worse than Kavsul Bemezid. Bemezid, at least you had the candle for a second, and you extinguished it, but it was a pursuing Nisa for that second. Here it's never pursuing Nisa, the whole structure is not set up for that, and maybe that's the Chiddush of our Gemara. Okay, again, a very brief passage, a very brief discussion, but it's a discussion that plays a role in other sugyas. It also plays a role in the question of a round menorah. So is this Gemara saying you can't have a round menorah? So that was a discussion we mentioned earlier of Schlesinger's discussion in the Sefer Ner Yishebeso. So he assumes that this does not exclude a round menorah, because again, he thinks that the whole metzias here is that the flames are joining. But if the flames are not joining, and you have therefore distinct candles going in a circle, so that we don't see any evidence from this Gemara that that's a problem. Okay, so that's a very brief passage. So the next passage is even briefer, but there's a lot to say about it. It has major implications. And this will also give us a minute to talk about some of the inyanim of Neir Shabbos. So the Gemara says, really fascinating, because this is a very brief passage, but this has major, major implications all over the place. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Pshitali, it's obvious to me, Ner Beso v'ner Chanukah, Ner Beso Adif Mishum Shlom Beso. What does that mean? So Rashi says that the situation is Ner Beso b'Shabbos v'hu ani v'ein lo k'day likno shem and l'shtei neros. Let's say it's Friday night and you can only afford one candle. You only have one candle. So what should that candle be used for? Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah? And of course we've been working off the premise that you can't say both, because they're mutually exclusive, that Ner Shabbos is to be used, Ner Chanukah is not to be used. So that detail is not reconcilable between the two, at least on the surface. So you got to pick one or the other. So what's it going to be? Ner Shabbos Mishum, Ner Beso Mishum Shlom Beso. Okay, then that's actually itself. So again, the Gemara goes on to say something else. I think the next passage we won't talk about today, because we'll save this for a later Pesumei Nisa discussion. But just we'll just finish to see what the Gemara says about it. It says, "Boy Rava Ner Chanukah v'Kiddush Hayom Mahu." What's the story if you have to choose between Kiddush wine and Ner Chanukah? So Kiddush Hayom Adif the Tadir, or Dilma Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Pesumei Nisa. So do we give priority to the Kiddush because it's every Shabbos and it's Tadi, or a priority to Ner Chanukah because it's Pesumei Nisa? So Basa Deboi Hadar Pashti Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Pesumei Nisa. So this Gemara is especially important for highlighting not just that halacha makes the question, but also just the fact that Pesumei Nisa makes Chanukah candles a priority, and therefore also we find in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that we have to go begging and do whatever we have to do in order to fulfill this mitzvah. A lot to say about that. Again, we'll save that for one of the other Pesumei Nisa Yom Tovim over the course of the second semester, that we'll either Purim or Pesach will come back to this topic. But what about this halacha of Ner Beso and Ner Chanukah? So the Gemara here evokes this concept of Shalom Bayis, which is fascinating. What exactly do we mean by Shalom Bayis? So Rashi here makes reference to a Gemara a little bit later on, not too far away, two blot later. Says V'hachi Amrinam L'Kaman V'Tiznach Mishalom Nafshi. It's a pasuk in Eicha. Zu Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos Shebnei Beso Mitzdarin Leishet B'Choshech. That the people in your household are going to have a miserable time if they're sitting in the dark. And therefore, the Gemara later on connects that to the institution of Ner Shabbos. So because Shalom Bayis is invoked in that context, in that pasuk of Tiznach Mishalom Nafshi, so says Rashi, that's what's going on here. Ner Shabbos is identified with Shalom Bayis, and that's such an important principle that the Gemara invokes it as an overwhelming priority. Rabbeinu Chananel, if you had a chance to see, so Rabbeinu Chananel actually does something different, right? What does Rabbeinu Chananel quote here? He quotes a different pasuk. You ever saw that? That Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Amar Rabba, Ner Beso Adif Miner Chanukah Mikiddush Hayom Mishum Shlom Beso Shneamar Viadata Ki Shalom Ohalecha." It's a pasuk in Iov. So that reference—is there significance to that difference? Does it make a difference what pasuk you quote? Does it seem to have any relevance? So there are some who suggest, I think we've mentioned in the past, the Sefer written by Rabbi Yochanan Sofer, the earlier Rav, it's called Yomin de Chanukah. So he's unhappy with the suggestion that some people have that maybe the difference is that this is not about Ner Shabbos specifically. And if you note, the Gemara doesn't actually say the word Ner Shabbos. Now, what does the Gemara say? What's the language in the Gemara? Ner Bayis, Ner Beso. It's a household light. So if it's about Shalom Bayis, that people are anguished when they're sitting in the dark and they trip over things and they get angry at each other, so then maybe that's not specifically about Shabbos. And therefore, Rashi quotes the pasuk that's the Gemara later on, and Chafei Midbeis, and the connection of Halakas Ner Shabbos. Okay, but maybe Rabbi Nechanan will quote a different pasuk about Shalom Halacha that's not about Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan Sofer, he doesn't like that suggestion at all. One reason is, he says, you can't read it into Rabbeinu Chananel, because if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel on that Gemara in Chafei and Mebeis, when it talks about Shalom over there, so Rabbeinu Chananel quotes the same pasuk. So he says, don't tell me that Rabbeinu Chananel is invoking this pasuk in order to get things away from Ner Shabbos, because when the Gemara explicitly talks about Ner Shabbos, so he has it there as well. So he says, don't read the Rabbeinu Chananel this way. And he says, in general, don't tell me there's such an idea. He doesn't think that makes any sense. He thinks this Gemara is clearly talking about Ner Shabbos, and don't try to bring in these strange ideas that it's talking about even during the week. However, there are some bases for saying that, including the Chidushei HaRitva HaChadashos. He says, beferish, that it does actually mean the household light during the week, which, again, on the one hand, is understandable, because the Gemara, A, doesn't use the word Shabbos on our page, and also, if the function is Shalom Bayis, so then maybe that Taka should be applicable during the week, and is also an additional factor in terms of Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos we find identified with other ideas, which we'll talk about in a second. So some also suggest that maybe this is the Rambam's position. Right, the Rambam is certainly worth noting on every level, just because of the way his language significantly expands on the whole notion. So, and he's also probably noteworthy also in terms of the way the Rambam sets up things. So if you know the Rambam style, so very often at the end of a section of Halacha, he'll use that for closing Musar Shmuz, for a nice drasha. So look how he phrases things at the very end of Halachas Chanukah, the last Halacha in Halachas Chanukah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yudalet. Hayulafanav ner beiso v'ner Chanukah. Oh, ner beiso v'kiddush hayom, ner beiso kodem. First of all, note that he didn't insert the word Shabbos here, so it's still open to what he's talking about. And how does he say it? Mishum shlom beiso, sharei Hashem nimchak lasol shalom ben ish leishto. God's name is erased in order to make peace between a man and his wife. How do we know that? It's a Gemara in about five places, but where does the Gemara get it from? From Sota. Right, the fact that the ritual of the Sota, which is a method everyone always talks about how to understand Sota, but on the Pashtus level, it's there as a tool for Shalom, that the man suspects his wife, and that Chshad is creating all kinds of issues. So this is a way to get rid of the Chshad, to get rid of the suspicion. So part of that involves erasing God's name, throwing it into water. So therefore you see that we're willing to go to great lengths to make Shalom. What does that imply for Halacha Lamais in other contexts? A very important question again. Maybe we'll devote some time to that tomorrow. But so the Rambam brings in that, and then he ends off, Gadol HaShalom, Shakol HaTorah Nitna Lasol Shalom Ba'olam, Shenamar Derachah Darchei Noam V'chol Nesivei Seh Shalom. Right? So the Rambam clearly took this opportunity to go into much greater detail here and to create a drasha that goes beyond this. And there are some who say here also that the Rambam is not talking about Ner Shabbos, he's talking about even during the week. So among those who take this position is our friend Rav Nosson Gestetner in his Tshuvas and Siman Yudalit. But in this case, you should know, it's not just me quoting him, but it's also Rav Yochanan Sofer quoting him to disagree with him. So in the second part of the Sefer, he has a letter written to Rav Nosson Gestetner. He says, what are you talking about? I disagree with you about this. He says, there's no real source, he thinks, that this Gemara, our Gemara, is talking about weekday candles. So then he says, okay, so Rav Nosson Gestetner quoted that Ritva we mentioned. Okay, that's a good one. Fine, he didn't know about the Ritva. But other than that, still, he doesn't think that it's true l'halacha, and he doesn't think it could be the Rambam's position. So part of what he says is that if there was some mysterious new chiv to light candles, not just Friday night, but every night of the week, so then how could it be the Rambam's not going to explain that? When the Rambam is telling us, normally, how does the Rambam write things? He says, okay, there is a mitzvah to do such and such. And you have to do such and such even more important than something else. But here, he's just going to say that, oh, this concept is even more important than that. and he's not going to even tell us about the concept in the first place. He's not going to say anywhere in Mishnah Torah that there's a chiyuv to light a candle overnight because of shalom bayis. How could it be that he's assuming you know about this chiyuv he doesn't explain to anywhere, and then says that that chiyuv is more important than Ner Chanukah? It must be he's talking about the same chiyuv that we have on Friday night, that we know about, that that's an established din. So that Ner Shabbos, that takes priority over Ner Chanukah. But this mysterious Ner Beso, whoever said such a thing? So the truth is, I think there might be room to defend Avnostik Shtetner's position. After all, we have somewhat of allegiance to his writings. So it could be that I don't know if Rambam really is getting at this or not, but it might be viable that maybe what the Rambam is saying, and maybe what the way he understands the Gemara, is not that there is a mitzvah to light a candle at night. But, well, obviously you have to be able to see in your household, or else people will trip over each other and people will get into fights and you'll have all kinds of problems. So if the situation is that it's pitch black in your household, and that the only candle you have, you'd like to use it to be able to see in your house, but now instead we're saying that you have to light a Hanukkah candle outside, so it's going to be lit outside the house and you're going to have no light in the house, and that's going to lead to a shalom bayis, so says the Rambam, if that's the issue, so then better you should light up your house and not have the fight and skip the Ner Chanukah. But not that there's a mitzvah that you have to light a candle in your house, if there's moonlight or if it's somehow you're able to see because your neighbors have a big light or whatever it is. So then the Chazal never made a takana that you have to light. They just say that if the reality is that you're going to be pitch black because you have your only way of getting light in your house is this candle, and now you're going to be upset at each other, so then better to use the candle in your house rather than outside. And then the idea that there's a mitzvah Friday night, they did make such a takana. So the truth is, Pashas, that's for other reasons, but we could also point out that even just focusing on Shalom Bayis, that Shabbos night there is especially an inyan of Shalom Bayis. After the Shla and others interpret the Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel, the Pasuk says, Lo Savaru Eish B'chol Mosh Vosechem B'yom HaShabbos, the Pasuk that the Gemara asks, why is it that the Torah identifies really only this one Malacha by name? All the other Malachas, we don't have the Torah identifying them. And the only one that's identified is Havara. So the Gemara asks, Havara, Lama Yatzas, why was Havara singled out? So the Shla understands it to be that it's referring to emotional fire, that you shouldn't have machlokas in your household over Shabbos. Shouldn't have the fire of machlokas raging. And even though there's an issa machlokas all week long, on Shabbos it's a special inyan. So if that's the case, so then we could say that maybe Chazal made a takana davka Friday night, even though the issue was really relevant all week long. So nice if the issue is relevant all week long, so taka, according to those who assume, which is the most common position, that this is a halacha of Ner Shabbos Friday night, so why taka is that the case, that it's a priority only Friday night and not during the week? So Rav Yochanan Sofer, who maintains that position, so he says he thinks the issue is that your wife is going to see that every other house has a Friday night candle, every other house has a night as a candle lit. During the week, Lad Davka is the case. But every Friday night, every household is going to have a candle lit. And you're going to be the one candle in one household without one because you took your Shabbos candle and used it for your Hanukkah candle. So that's going to start a fight. He says that's going to create tension in the household. And therefore, it's about general shalom that comes from the darkness, but it's specifically tied in to Friday night. Happens to be the Meiri, if you saw the Meiri, he also connects it to the mitzvah specifically of Ner Chanukah. He says that since the notion is that this mitzvah is associated with the women, so basically what you're saying is if you're going to take the Shabbos candle and use it for a Chanukah candle, you're basically telling your wife, I'm taking away your mitzvah and depriving you of your weekly opportunity, and that's going to create tension in the household. And that's because of the chavivus of the mitzvah. There's a similar comment in the Torah Tumim in a different context, that the Gemara in Beitza has a hard to understand discussion. The Gemara says that we have a principle of mutav shushogin v'alyum mezidin, that we shouldn't tell people about halachas that they're not going to keep. And in that context, so the Gemara says that you shouldn't tell women on Erev Yom Kippur that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, that they should stop eating with enough time before Yom Kippur, because they're not going to listen. So it says the Torah to me, but why are we picking on the women here? Why they're going to have a harder time stopping to eat before Yom Kippur than men? How does that make any sense? So he says, in general, there's a machlokas, whether women are obligated in the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, which is a separate din. But it might be a mitzvah, so say, Shazman Grama. So it's a shaila whether women are pater or chayiv in that obligation. So says the Torah Tamima, it must be the women are chayavos in that mitzvah. And since it's the one mitzvah say shazman grammar, one of the only mitzvah say shazman grammar that they're chayavos in, so therefore they have a great chavivus for this mitzvah, they take it very seriously, and they're not going to be too responsive if you say, cut that short. So to hear, the Miri says that if you're going to take away the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos in favor of Ner Hanukkah, it's going to cause machlokas in the household. So in any event, it's a shaila how to read this Rambam and how to read the whole question of whether this is about Shabbos or during the week. Lubavitcher Rebbe commented on this Rambam that what the Rambam is saying is that it's not that the din the Rabbanan of Ner Shabbos takes priority over Ner Hanukkah, which is Pirsumei Nisa, and Kiddush, which is Daraisa. It's a whole discussion. But that the value that it taps into is all-encompassing. That even though it's a din d'rabbanan itself, but because it plugs into shalom, so shalom is what holds the world together and is a value that impacts everything. So that's why he goes into this whole speech in order to show us that that's where this halacha emanates from. So there was a collection continuing Lubavitch citation. So there is a sefer called Har HaMelech, which is published by Lubavitch, which has a lot of essays in the Rambam. And one of the essays there in this Rambam, he also understands the Rambam to mean that it's not just a slight edge, but it's an absolute prioritization. So, for example, when the Gemara compares Kiddush to this, so one candle, we're just talking about switching the candle from one thing to another. But if we're talking about competing with Kiddush, it means you have to choose to buy a wine or to buy a candle. So let's say you already bought the wine. So then you say, okay, well, I have the wine for Kiddush, so that'll take priority. So he says, no, it means that you should try to sell the wine so that you can then use the wine money for the candle. That the candle of the shalom takes absolute priority, not just relative priority. So this also taps into a question which a lot of the Achronim discuss. So what exactly is the nature, first of all, this whole idea of shalom bayis being invoked? Again, when we talk about Ner Shabbos, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, that we have other goals associated with Ner Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, which that the idea that we should be able to enjoy our dinner because we can see the dinner. That's one of the notions of Ner Shabbos. And I think we mentioned a little while ago, whether maybe it's Kavod Shabbos, to light the candle on Erev Shabbos, or it's Oneg Shabbos, to have the candle lit Friday night. But what's with Shalom Bayis? So one could ask, as some Sfarim do, is this essentially the definition of Oneg Shabbos? That it's saying that Oneg Shabbos requires you not to be sitting in the dark and miserable, and if you are, you're not going to have any Shalom Bayis or Oneg Shabbos. It's the same idea. Or is this talking about an added component? There's a different idea. So that might be a little bit of a question here. Some suggest that the Rambam is basically, whether or not he's talking about a weekday candle or a Shabbos candle, he's talking about a different din. He's focusing on this notion of Shalom Ben Ish L'Ishto, and he's talking about it in Hilchas Chanukah, and that's different than Ner Shabbos, which he talks about in Ner Shabbos, even if it's talking, he's still a Friday night din. But this Gemara is telling us a whole different concept. While others might understand that it's general, it sounds like that's what Rashi is getting at also. But Tiznach Mishalom Nafshi, and Rashi says that the people in your household are going to be miserable, then it's not about some special takana between a man and his wife. It's about what Oneg Shabbos means, the people in the household. B'nei Beiso, Mitzdara, Leisha V'choshech. You can't have Oneg Shabbos if people are sitting in pitch blackness. So if that's the case, so this is relevant to a question that these Sfarim will ask. Vosner asks about this, and many others have this question. So is this about Ish V'Ishto? Or is it about anybody with family members or anybody by himself? And therefore, does it apply if somebody is not married or doesn't live with his wife or is not with his wife right now? Does it only apply when somebody is together with his wife, or does it apply in other circumstances also? So if it's a special takana between a man and his wife, so then maybe it shouldn't apply in other circumstances. While if it's just the definition of Onik Shabbos, it should apply even to unmarried people or people who are not presently with their wives. So Rabbi Yochanan Sofer thought maybe that was a difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel, even though he thinks they're both talking about Friday night, but that Rashi, Vatiznach Mishal Nashi, is talking about the household members in general. And Rabbeinu Hananel, when he quotes this pasuk, V'yadata kishalom ohalecha, so ohal zeh beiso, beiso zeh ishta, we have such an idea. So he's saying that you should have that peaceful marital relationship, and that that's the focus. So when I asked you a few minutes ago, is there any significance to the difference in the pasuk that Rabbeinu Hananel quotes, separate from what Rashi? So we saw two possible differences. Either that it's not about Ner Shabbos, except as was pointed out, that may contradict the Rabbeinu Hananel later. Or that it's specifically about the marital relationship rather than just the concept of an individual himself having shalom and having onik. So this is a question that Charonim asked. The general attitude is, presumably the way it's brought down the halacha is that we don't distinguish, that priority is given to Ner Shabbos over Ner Hanukkah, and that is the din. We don't make any plug, we don't make any distinctions between people who are married and unmarried and the like. But it's also interesting that this Gemara, the question of what comes first, so to speak, Shalom Bayis or Ner Beso, Ner Shabbos, or Ner Chanukah, has important relevance in another area. Not just what is prioritized, but what is actually done first. Right? So if you saw in the Mamre Komos, so this is actually a major machlokas harishonim. Now, what's the issue? So on the one hand, one might think, like the Ramban and a few other Rishonim maintain, that what should come first Friday night in terms of lighting? Near Shabbos, right? So this Gemara is not only saying that if you have to choose, you should go for Near Shabbos over Near Chanukah, but it's also saying if you're doing both, what do you do first? So says the Ramban and many other Rishonim, you do Near Shabbos first, because also Tadir V'Sheim and Tadir, various milas associated with Ner Shabbos. Now, what's the objection one might have to lighting Shabbos candles first? It sounds like you're Mekabel Shabbos by doing that, and that creates a big problem. So who is associated with that view? The Bahag. Right? The Ramban quotes the Bahag, he doesn't like it. He says, very kamarachot times, he doesn't think it makes any sense. But the Bahag was of the view that if you light Shabbos candles, so then you have accepted Shabbos, and then you don't have the opportunity to light Hanukkah candles after that. So that's going to create a big problem, according to him. But the Achronim point out that there's a couple of chidushim in this Bahag. One is that lighting Shabbos candles accepts Shabbos, which is not in the Gemara anywhere. Right? That's the way we have come to associate things, that lighting Shabbos candles is an act of Kabbalah Shabbos. But it's not so obvious that that's the case. But the Bahag seems to not only assume that, but also assume that it's across the board and inviolable, that there's no such concept of a t'nai. So many of us assume l'halacha nowadays that even if Shabbos candles are Kabbalah Shabbos, that it's possible to have in mind otherwise. So, for example, nowadays, so often the situation is that a woman lights Shabbos candles at home, and her husband, even after that, will drive to shul. So why? Because, first of all, he's assuming that it's not a Kabbalah Shabbos on behalf of the whole household. It's only a Kabbalah Shabbos for her, and therefore it doesn't stop him from diving to shul. But even if the wife wants to herself come to shul, so then that may be to drive to shul. So that might theoretically be possible also, because even if she's the one lighting and being the Kabbalah Shabbos, so presumably she should be able to make it tonight, but that's not what she has in mind. In other words, it's not a magical thing that lighting the Shabbos candles brings in Shabbos. It's that we take that to be the implicit understanding that this is the last act, the last malacha done before Shabbos, and after that Shabbos is in. But if one has in mind that that's not what they want to do, if one makes it tonight, so then that should work. So it sounds like from the Bahag, like he doesn't accept any kulus here, that he thinks that it affects the whole household, and there's no tonight, and that once you light the Shabbos candles, that's it. It's Shabbos for everybody, and there's nothing you can do about it. So in Shulchan Aruch, he brings all the days. In Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Bahag, he also quotes the Ramban, and he says that Yesh Omrim, that a Tanai works, and Yesh Omrim, the whole thing isn't true, that lighting candles does not accept Shabbos. That's what he says in Halacha Shabbos. In Hilchos Chanukah, though, he does paskin, like the Bahag's priority, that we should light Chanukah candles before lighting Shabbos candles. So the Beis Yosef, he explains himself, and he says that even though it's a machlokas, but the other side also agrees that you can light Chanukah candles first. And the Ramah, the Darchei Moshe, says, what are you talking about? What about Tadir? They all feel that you should do it the other way. They agree. They say that because of Tadir, you should light Shabbos candles first. So the Achronim explain, like the Shevet HaLevi explains and others, that he means that it's not Ma'akev Tadir. It definitely works. So it's safer, it seems, if you want to try to satisfy everyone, it's safer to light Chanukah candles first and then Shabbos candles, because no one's going to say the mitzvah is not done. While if you are worried about the Bahag's position, then it's Shabbos after you light the first candle. That seems to be a much higher stakes issue. So essentially that's perhaps what he's getting at when he says everyone agrees. Not everyone agrees this is the right thing to do, but everyone agrees after the fact that it's acceptable. So in any event, that's an important din, which also relates to this Gemara about the priority of Ner Shabbos over Ner Chanukah. Just to mention a couple of other details that come out of this. So first of all, there is a question. The Magen Avraham notes that this is all assuming you only have one candle. But what if you have two candles? Or three candles? So then, says the Magen Avraham, that you should take one candle for Ner Shabbos, and then the other candle should be your Ner Chanukah, Iker Mitzvah, you'll have one candle and kind of everything. And as the Prima Gadim explains, that even though L'chachila, we want you to light two candles for Friday night, that's the normal understanding of the din, but that's ideal. But here, if you're going to have to forfeit Ner Chanukah for that, we're not going to have you forfeit Ner Chanukah for the second candle. If you already have one Shabbos candle, so then better to use a second candle for Ner Chanukah. And then we talked about Mahadrin, the question comes up, what if you have three candles or four candles, and it's the second night of Chanukah, it's the fourth night of Chanukah, etc., etc. So should you try to... The Magen Avraham normally says that if you have anything more than one candle, you should take all the rest for Chanukah and let it count towards the Mahadrin. And as we discussed in the past, it's a machlokus. If you don't have the exact number of Mahadrin, if you have fewer candles, is it worth going for the Mahadrin at all, or should you stick with the Iker Mitzvah? So that will be affected by that question. The Magen Avraham also discusses that maybe this whole halacha should change b'man hazeh. That nowadays, since we light inside, so then maybe Ner Chanukah should take priority, because you're not going to be in pitch blackness inside. You're going to have your Ner Chanukah by your table. So even though we say also l'shtamish la'ora, but you're going to have at least the shtamshus that you're not going to be tripping over each other, because that's going to be presumably a shtamshus beheder, although there's a lot to talk about that. And Rav Osner has the tshuva questioning this, but the Magen Avraham's basic premise is that even though you really shouldn't be sitting by the Chanukah candles and using them, but having them inside your house is going to be effective enough for the goal of Ner Shabbos that the Gemara is talking about, that maybe b'zman hazeh that halacha should change. But again, the attitude doesn't seem to be l'halacha ma'aseh. The Mishnah Berurah says that he doesn't think that that's really the practice, that we still assume lo plug in this Gemara about the preference to Ner Shabbos. So lo plug whether you're married or unmarried, and lo plug b'zman ha'gemara, and nowadays we give a priority to Ner Shabbos.
Shevet HaLevi says that.
Yeah. Mishnah Berurah says that also. Mishnah Berurah says that as well. But there is a fascinating machlokas ha'achronim, which is discussed in a few contemporary svarim, that the following question was asked. This is a machlokas between the Be'er Sarim and others, that the question was raised, what if you, and this could easily happen because Hanukkah is often the shortest Friday of the year, so let's say you don't have a chance to light Hanukkah candles before Shabbos starts. So, okay, you missed it. So now it's Friday night, it's Shabbos. But you have a chayla, sheyesh bo sakana, who you need to light a candle for. So once you're doing that, can you have in mind also that that will count as near Hanukkah and the near for the chayla? So what do you think about that? So this was a major machlokas ha'achronim. There's a lot to say about it, but I just wanted to introduce the issue to you. So there are a couple of factors. One factor that was suggested by the Machmirim is that maybe it's considered after the Zman already. That maybe when it comes to Friday night, Chazal moved the Zman to Erev Shabbos, and they no longer have any concept of the Zman after Shabbos starts. And therefore, it's completely off the table for that reason.
That's Zman of Hadlakas
Nir, right, because it was moved. Any other day of the week, that would have been the appropriate time. But Chazal moved it away from Friday night to Friday afternoon, and maybe that's an issue. That's one possible Be'er Sarim. Be'er Sarim is written by a Rav in Switzerland with Rav Yaffa Schlesinger, so he doesn't think that that's too much of an issue. But the other issue that's evoked is that, is it possible for a Ner for the Cholah to be counted as a Ner Chanukah as well? So don't we have an Isser L'Shamish L'Aruah, and don't we have a requirement of Hector? So shouldn't we say that this is even worse than what the Magen Avraham was saying? The Magen Avraham was saying, okay, so you'll have the menorah in your house, and it'll be a passive usage. You could count for Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. But here, a candle that's specifically lit for a Cholah that's meant for his usage, it's not going to have any hecker whatsoever that it counts as a Ner Chanukah. So it's very hard to say that that should be effective, and that's how many assume. That it's a nice chap, but hopefully if you find yourself with a Cholah Sheyesh Bo Sakana on a Friday night of Chanukah, you won't say, yay, opportunity, and you'll instead worry about his lungs.
Yes. But if let's say that happened during the week where you lit your Chanukah candles, and else, you know, bring it closer to the Cholah, to his room or something, will help him out. So there you would say it's mutter because, let's say, Mishum Rafur, he's going to be in trouble if you don't do it. But would you say that that undoes now your mitzvah of Hanukkah because you used your light?
You originally lit your menorah in the right place on the right weekday. And now the Cholah who needs it, and that's the only candle you have, so you're going to take it away from there and move it. So that should be the category of Kavsa Lo Zakuk Lo, right? That you were Yotze during the first second. And that even if you negate it, it should be usher to do it in their normal circumstances, but because of the need of the Cholah, so then the Isser wouldn't apply. And the only question is the impact it has on the mitzvah. But it seems that in terms of that, Kosel Zakukla, that the mitzvah lasts even if you did the wrong thing, and in this case, it'd be the right thing. Okay, so this leaves us with one last point to talk about, which is not in the Gemara, but is a very relevant issue, and through discussing this will actually be appropriate ending for our Chanukah Sugya, because it will bring us back again also to our very first Sugya. So the Gemara talks about Friday night and about Friday night candles. What about Havdalah? So what's the Halacha in terms of Havdalah and Chanukah candles? What comes first? So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So the Shulchan Aruch is a little mysterious, right? Because the Shulchan Aruch says that in Shul, you should light Chanukah candles before Havdalah candles, because there's a concept which the Gemara has in the end of Pesachim, if you're learning at Daf Yomi a few months ago. The Gemara talks about the notion, then the Gemara talks about when you have the Seder on Motzoi Shabbos. So you have to do Havdalah and Kiddush and all the other brachas in your Seder process. So the Gemara talks about Yaknahaz, it's a Rosh Tevis for how you order everything. Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah, Zman. So the idea of having Havdalah towards the end, after Kiddush, so the Gemara says that Fuke Yoma Adif, that when it comes to the day ending, we don't want the day to end so quick, so we push Havdalah off. So says the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to making Havdalah on Chanukah night, so we'll light Chanukah candles first, so Havdalah will be a little bit later. So that's very nice, but the Shulchan Aruch says that only in the context of Shul. So what's the story at home? So says the Ramah, so Kol Shekein Beiso, that's true also, especially when you get home, you should prioritize Chanukah candles, because the Iker Havdalah you've already said in Tefillah, and you've already, as maybe you've heard it in Shul, so for all the more so, you should do Chanukah candles first. So that was the view of the Ramah, and that was the view probably of most poskim. The Avnezer has a tshuva, I think it's Tafsadi Aleph, where he brings other proofs to this position. It says also that, he says based on the Gemara and Sukkah, that the Chanukah candle should come first because that's the Chovas Hayom. That now it's Motzoi Shabbos, and therefore the Chovas Hayom is the Chanukah candles, while Havdalah is connected to the previous day. So therefore, it's more timely to light Hanukkah candles, which translates into Makudish B'yaisa, that has a greater Kedusha to it. And he also notes that if you take a Maimonidean view, that you have a very limited Zman in which to light Hanukkah candles, so then the clock is ticking, so you should hurry up, and you've already lost some time in getting home and everything like that. And you're machmir for your Beit HaTam's, the whole story, so you've only got a little bit left of the Hanukkah candles, so you should rush to do Hanukkah candles first, and that seems to be the priority. However, there is another view, it's the Taz, and the truth is, this continues to be a big machlokas, and there are many different menhagim, or two different menhagim, many different people have different menhagim about this, and if you look, for example, of Harfenis, who I don't think we mentioned so much, this is mine, but we mention him often in the context of his Hilchos Shabbos Svarim, so he has a volume on Chanukah as well. On this he says, Nara, Nara Pashta, he says this, everyone does whatever they do, there are many different, or two different menhagim about this, that they're both valid. But Taz's approach is to say that he thinks that Tadir should be the priority here, Tadir v'sheino Tadir, and therefore you should light the Havdalah candle first, and only afterwards light the Chanukah candle. And many disagreed with him. The Shulas Yaakov, the Chemer Moshe, and others took pot shots at him, and they disagreed with this. And the Morik Tzia, back of Emden, he writes that when he was a kid, the tradition he had from his father, the Chacham Tzvi, was to light the Chanukah candles first. But then when he got older, he thought a little bit about the Taz's objection, and then he thought about it more and decided the Taz is wrong, and therefore we should leave it this way. So it seems to be that a lot of the weight is against the Taz, despite the existence of various traditions. Although Rav Osner and Hashavit Alevi, so he brings a lot of support for the Taz. He has a pretty lengthy discussion, about 10 pages, where he talks about this whole question of Havdalah. And the Taz himself invokes many different svaras, so it's a topic you can really spend a lot of time on if we had more time. And it's not even the Gemara at all, but there's a lot to be discussed in terms of the various svaras. So one thing he mentions also, he thinks he could support the Taz from a different perspective, that there's a Rashba in his Chidushim to Brachas and Daf Nun Aleph, that the Rashba says that the Zman, or he implies that the Zman of Havdalah is relevant already from Shkia. So if that's the case, even though we generally don't make Havdalah Shkia, but you could make Havdalah earlier, but we generally don't make Havdalah Shkia because it's not going to help us, and we don't want people to start thinking they can do Malacha before Shabbos is definitely over. But the Zman of Havdalah starts with the Shkia. So then he says, it's really a Shaila how you interpret the Zman of Chanukah. The Gemara says, Mishketishka, but it's a Shaila whether that means the beginning of Shkia, what we'll call Shkia, or the end of Shkia, which we'll call Tzeis. So many assume it's later. He says, if that's the case, so the Zman of Havdalah really started before the Zman of Chanukah, so you should prioritize Havdalah over Chanukah. But then he mentions another factor, which we'll use this to kind of close off our unit the way we started in terms of Chanukah, that there's a question which many people ask when you talk about this, is you say, Afuka Yoma Adif, you want to kind of delay the end of Shabbos, but how does that help if you're delaying Shabbos by being Mechal Shabbos first? Right, if you're going to light the Chanukah candle, so isn't that itself a steer to Shabbos? So you're being so nice by showing respect to Shabbos by delaying ending it, and in the middle you're going to do a Malacha? So how could that be? So that's one of the issues that Taz raises. He says, how could you say Afuka Yoma Adif when Chanukah lighting is a direct stira to Shabbos? So how could you say that you're going to push off ending Shabbos by having Chanukah candles first? So the Chassam Sofer, in his Chidushim to Shulchan Aruch, the Chassam Sofer says that, well, I got a raya against this. He quotes in the Bar Gnura, in his commentary to Brachos, that he notes that when we say Yak Nehaz, so there you have the candle before Havdalah, and he writes that the other aspects of Havdalah that are not the bracha of Hamavdil itself, we don't say Afuka Yoma Adiv. So you could have, as long as it's not the Nusach of Havdalah, which separates from Shabbos, then that we don't like saying that too early because that makes it look like Shabbos was a burden on us. But the other aspects of Havdalah, he writes, the Besamim and the Ner, so that we don't apply Afuka Yoma. So that says the Chasam Sofer. Here you see that when it comes to lighting candles, that doesn't bother us if it's still Shabbos. And of course, we light the Havdalah candle itself before reciting Havdalah. And so when it comes to having candles, that's not the issue. It's just the nusach of Havdalah, of saying that Shabbos is over, that we try to push off a little bit. So he says that's the question against the Taz here. The Taz says that we can't have candles before we end Shabbos, and yet that's what we do. The Havdalah candle itself doesn't seem to be a problem. So says Rav Osner, he says he doesn't think this is at all a kasha. He says that there's a fundamental difference between the Ner of Havdalah and the Ner of the Chanukah menorah. That when it comes to the Ner of Havdalah, the whole point is really not to light, but to have light in the room. So we can make a bracha on the light. But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, so we make a bracha lahadlik. That the process itself is not just to have the light, but actually to do the Maisa Hadlaka. So to make a bracha about a Maisa Hadlaka when it's still Shabbos, and when we're trying to extend Shabbos, at least on some level, that's what the Taz says, that's a contradiction, and that's not comparable to Ner Havdalah, where even though, yes, we're going to light a candle, but the focus is to have the light present, and that's not as explicit a contradiction to Shabbos itself. So of course that evokes the whole question, what exactly is the Ner of Chanukah mitzvah? What's a theme which we've been talking about really throughout, but that goes back to our very first year, the question comes to Zakukla, Lo Zakukla, and the issue that may have been connected to it, whether the mitzvah of Chanukah really is the act of lighting it or is having the candle lit. So it's noteworthy that here Rav Osner asserts this difference, that that's the purpose of Chanukah candles, is to light the candles, Hadlaka is the mitzvah, if you will, and therefore that becomes the contradiction to Shabbos in a way that the Havdalah candle is not, because there the focus is simply to have the light in the room. Okay, so again, with that we essentially conclude our chapter or sugya of Chanukah. Tomorrow we'll say a little bit more about Shalom and a little bit about the parasha. Just a quick review we spoke about today, just the topics. So we spoke about this sugya of filling up a plate with oil and the idea that it has to have a clean on top of it in order to work. And talked a little bit about the Messias and the question of why should it be that it's no good if you lit many wicks? What about the 1 second in between the first wick and the second wick? Why don't we say Kavsul Zakikla? At least one person or one candle should be effective there. That was the question of Blaz and Moshe Hurwitz, and he responded that it must be that the issue is you're lighting them all at one time. And others said, no, maybe this is a proof that Kavsul Amazed Zakikla, or perhaps more to the point, like Rav Shlomo Zalman and Chaim Kanievsky said, not even necessarily the Kavsul Amazed Zakikla, but that intending to extinguish it is a problem, and that's what the Gemara talks about putting the wicks around. And he mentioned Rav Aaron Feldman said it a little bit differently, but he thinks here the issue is it's worse than Kavsa B'mezid, because then at least it was good for a second, but here the whole structure is not one of Persumanisa, and that's not good even for a second. Then we talked about the Gemara's Adifus of Ner Shabbos over Ner Chanukah. We talked about differences between Rashi and Ben Chananel in terms of what Pasuk is quoted, and the issue of whether this Gemara might be able to be read as referring not to Ner Shabbos, but to the household light in general. Rav Nosson Geshetner thought that was a viable interpretation, and that could be the Rambam's position, and Rav Yochanan Sofer argued on him, and we talked a little bit about how to defend that position, and the question indeed comes up, that if it's is about Ner Shabbos, so how does Shalom Bayis unique to Ner Shabbos? And we discussed the possibility that maybe Chazal made a takana specifically for Ner Shabbos then, because there's a greater priority of Shalom, but the rest of the week it's important in a different way. And Rabbi Yochanan Sofer said the idea was that the wife will see that in the other households they have light and you don't, and that'll start a fight. And the Meiri says that the issue is that Ner Shabbos is the mitzvah the woman has, and taking it away from her will start a fight. And then we discussed in general the question of whether this is an extension of the concept of owning Shabbos or a separate din, which could have nafkaminas for somebody who's not living with a wife. Does he also have this priority? And then we talked also about the major question, is this priority in terms of which one to do or also the order to do it? The Ramban says, even the order to do it, you light Ner Shabbos first, and Tadir Sheinu Tadir, and the Bahag maintains, no, that lighting Shabbos candles first will bring in Shabbos, apparently implying that you can't have a Tanai, and that affects the whole household. And the Shulchan Aruch brings all the opinions, but still the Maisa Paskins that we should light Shabbos candles first. And the Beis Yosef, he explains that that makes everyone happy, and as the latest Farim explained, not really happy, but it is acceptable to everyone as opposed to the alternative. And then we talked about also the questions of what if you have more than one candle? So then the Magen Avraham says one for Shabbos and one for Hanukkah, and talked about the various applications of that. And the Magen Avraham also suggests that maybe nowadays that we light inside, it should make a difference, that maybe that could suffice to be Hanukkah candles and Shabbos candles. But the Mishnah Berurah says we don't accept like that. And we talked about the fascinating Machlokas Achronim. What about if you did not light Hanukkah candles before Shabbos, and then Friday night you have a need to light for a Chol HaShi'esh Bo Sakana? Is it possible for that to count as a Hanukkah candle as well? And that was the Machlokas Achronim, and we talked about the various factors involved. And then we talked about this question of Havdalah, what comes first when it comes to that? And the Shulchan Aruch passing is that in Shul we should light the menorah first, and the Ramah says so, all the more so in the household, and that's probably the majority view. Various proofs to that position we discussed, but the Taz does disagree. The Taz says Tadr v'sheino Tadr and many other factors. Therefore, the Taz is pretty sure we should do Ner Havdalah first. And we mentioned that Rav Vosner has some support for that theory based on a couple of different points. And he also defended him against the objection of the Chassam Sofer that the Taz had pointed out that how could we say we're trying to extend Shabbos and be Mechal Shabbos at the same time? It's a direct contradiction. So the Chassam Sofer notes that we don't seem to have that concern in terms of the Havdalah candle. And Rav Vosner suggested there's a difference between the Havdalah candle and the Hanukkah candle. The Havdalah candle is just about having light. So that's more about the emphasis on that. When it comes to the Hanukkah candle, we're saying a bracha lahadlik. It's all about doing a maisa hadlaka, which is expressed as an overt contradiction of the Hilchos Shabbos. So that's much more of a problem. And that connected us back to the way we started, raising the whole question of what is the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah? Is it a mitzvah of hadlaka specifically, or is it a mitzvah to have candles lit? Okay, shkayach. So again, we'll continue with our things tomorrow, and now we'll daven mincha.